Corey Lewandowski joining us.
Hey,
he's the former campaign manager of Donald Trump, still very close to the former president. Good morning, Corey. How are you?
I'm great, Jack. How are you today? Happy school vacation week.
Is that good or bad? The kids are around.
I love it. Are you kidding me? I get to see the kids, and right, you get to sleep in a little bit. They're on the bus before 7 a.m. every day. And so this is a little nicer, and it looks like, you know, in the infinite wisdom of we don't follow the science anymore, no more masks on buses or in schools, thank God. These kids finally get a break.
Corey Lewandowski, let's talk about the January 6th committee studying the breach of the Capitol. I saw something overnight this morning where, I don't know if some members are there wondering if the former President Trump could actually be looked at for conspiracy-type accusations for the breach of the Capitol. How do you respond to the January 6th committee?
You know, Jack, what I saw was that the first person has pled guilty. It's one of the oath keepers. They pled guilty to sedition. And now what we're seeing is the same type of rhetoric that we saw coming out of the Russiagate from, you know, little Adam full of Schiff, which was, I have unequivocal evidence that Donald Trump colluded with Russia. This is unreal. I've seen it. It's more than circumstantial, only to come to find out the whole thing was a complete hoax. 4 years later, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal has to all write these retractions from stories after winning the Pulitzer for a whole scam. I think we're exactly in the same spot. This notion that Donald Trump, as the president of the United States, did something to try and overthrow the government, I think is comical. I think it's also very clear, Jack, that what Mike Pence did on that day, January 6th, was part of his responsibility. And he took the votes from those respective states, and he read them out loud and counted them. Now, some want to argue that Mike Pence could or couldn't do that, but the bottom line is this. Donald Trump, after he gave his speech at the Ellipse, said, let's go peacefully walk up to the Capitol. You know, it's amazing to me, Jack, the way that the media treats different things. When the BLM protests were literally lighting courthouses on fire in the northwest part of the country, mm-hmm. destroying police substations and cars, the anchors on most of the major news networks said, well, there's no such thing as a peaceful protest. These people have a right to push back. When it comes to the January 6th incident, the word sedition, the word overthrow is used on a regular basis, and we saw the same thing happen in Canada just 2 weeks ago with a peaceful protest by the truckers.
Corey Lewandowski, good morning, New Hampshire. I want to go back to the Durham report. Or there's this trial underway, and a few weeks ago, even in the Olympics were going on before the invasion by Putin in the Ukraine, there was some pretty clear evidence, it looked like, that did Hillary Clinton's campaign conspire with an attorney to hire a high-tech firm to spy on Trump Tower to sort of plant the false inference that there was Russian collusion? And then if you look at all the dossier and all these things about alleged Russian collusion, it led to a special Mueller's 2 years plus of this country was spent looking into this. And at the end of the day, there were like tax-related charges against people like Michael Cohen and no real proof of actual collusion. And the national media just hasn't really jumped onto that story. Why?
Because it doesn't fit their narrative. Look, $30 million was spent by the Mueller operation to go and bring in hundreds of witnesses to hear the same thing over and over, which was we never colluded with Russia. What we do know unequivocally is that Hillary Clinton paid a law firm by the name of Perkins Coie to go and create this false dossier, funded it through an illegal contribution to them, saying they were attorney bills, when we know that it was actually opposition research. Those individuals then went and met with the acting general counsel of the FBI and said they weren't working for any campaign, said, here's a dossier. That individual was told, James Baker, was told on multiple occasions that it wasn't a factual document. They proceeded anyways, and not one SEC violation against Hillary Clinton. The attorney who lied on the FISA court application was given a one-year probationary term at the FBI, never lost his law license. There's been nobody put in jail over this. It was literally the greatest potential coup against a sitting president ever. And now we hear, according to Durham, that they were spying on Donald Trump, not just in Trump Tower, but while he was a sitting president of the United States inside the White House. Jack, I'd been in that building many, many, many times when Donald Trump was the president, and the protocols of security and making sure that there is no eavesdropping going on are extremely intense. You have to put your phone in a locked compartment. You have to be searched as you come in the door. They've got radiation detectors and so many other things to protect the president, and now we find out that an outside third party was spying on the servers that he used inside the White House. How is that not a bigger story than Watergate or anything else? The media doesn't want to cover it because it doesn't fit their narrative.
Corey Lewandowski, let me switch gears to the domestic front here in New Hampshire. You're a New Hampshire resident. We just had Chuck Morse on, Senate President, Republican, U.S. Senate GOP primary candidate Kevin Smith yesterday, retired General Don Bolduc last week, talking about the military aspects of the war in the Ukraine. And you speak often with the former president. Is he, and when will, if he is he going to endorse one of these Republican Senate primary candidates who hopes to take on Maggie Hassan? Is the former president going to weigh in on this Senate race?
Well, look, I spoke to the president yesterday specifically about this race. And this is not the president's opinion, but it's mine. The comments that Don Bolduc made on Fox News this week completely disqualify him for a candidacy for the United States Senate. To think that we're going to put American troops on the ground there, CIA on the ground there, special forces on the ground there, when we've got our own problems here at home, I think is a disqualifying factor. And as it relates to the other two candidates, you know, Jack, there's a criteria as you run for office that you have to meet. Can you organized? Do you have a grassroots operation out there, a groundswell of support to support your campaign, coupled with do you have the financial resources to compete to take out an incumbent, very weak Democrat U.S. Senator? The first FEC report for both of these candidates, meaning Smith and Chuck Morse, is going to close at the end of this month. We'll see what those numbers are next month. But it's a two-pronged strategy, and I believe Donald Trump is going to wait and see who has the financial resources, who has the grassroots resources to be successful. This is a very winnable seat. I'm not completely convinced the field is fully developed because there's a long way to go. The filing deadline is still many months away, so we're going to see where this goes.
What about the first congressional district, a number of Republicans running? Will you and the president be weighing in on endorsement there?
I think you've got three candidates in that race right now, and I think Donald Trump will weigh in on that race. Again, because it's a September primary, what we have seen just this week in Texas, as an example, Jack, Donald Trump endorsed 33 candidates in the primaries, all 33 won. What we know is when Donald Trump makes an endorsement in the first congressional district, I believe it will be the definitive inflection point in that campaign. And whomever he endorses, I believe is going to be the Republican nominee and ultimately go on to beat Chris Pappas and win and take back that seat for the Republicans in the first congressional district of New Hampshire. So you're going to see us involved in races in New Hampshire for sure. There's no doubt about it. I think it's still very early, but you're going to see the Donald Trump presence come to New Hampshire.
Real quickly before I let you go, Corey Lewandowski live on Good Morning New Hampshire, GMI Studios. Corey, a number of weeks ago, there was a news story that you put out with the former president criticizing current governor Chris Sununu and saying he should go and be primaried within the Republican Party. I had the governor on a week or so ago and I asked him if that dust has settled and if he had any concerns that the former president doesn't seem to be in favor of his campaign and reelection. And he dismissed it as, I think he said, political theater. I don't listen to that stuff. Do you and the president, former President Donald Trump, still have any issues with Governor Chris Sununu, Republican, running for re-election? And would the former President Donald Trump be supporting Governor Sununu in the primary general election? Do you still have concerns with Mr. Sununu?
Look, here's what I say, Jack. You know, what I heard when I've been running races in New Hampshire for the last 20-plus years is that primaries are healthy, right? That they make a better general election candidate. So if that was true 20 years ago when incumbents were being challenged by other primary opponents, is probably still true today. And that's what makes good candidates is good primaries. And so, look, we've got a competitive primary in the U.S. Senate race. We've got a competitive primary in the first congressional district for sure. And, look, again, this is a long way off. The primary is in September. So if a candidate decides to run against Chris Sununu, and that's the America First mantle, which is no mass, smaller government, lower regulation, less taxes, not making our children sit home from schools, not pretending that the political theater of COVID has now ended. I mean, look, you know, then they give someone an opportunity to weigh in if that's where they want to go in the state. And so we're going to see what happens. Again, I don't think that race is fully developed yet, Jack. Without getting in front of myself, I don't think it's fully developed.
All right, Corey Lewandowski making some news here. Good morning, New Hampshire, GMI Studios. Make it a great day. Thank you, Corey. Enjoy the rest of school vacation week.
Thank you.